Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the next level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. As has been said, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. In so doing, it's my hope that you will come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. This is a no-holds-barred show. My guests will have differing spiritual belief systems, and some will have no spiritual beliefs. You may or you may not agree with things that are said. What I'd ask you to do is keep an open mind. This way, you can see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now, today, my guest is a special friend who actually is the gentleman who convinced me to get into radio, and so I owe him a debt of gratitude. His name is A.J. Mata. He owns Spiritually Raw Broadcasting Network, srbroadcasting.com, and he's going to talk about his spiritual journey today, and we'll take it from there. He was born into Eastern philosophies and raised with Western ideologies, and AJ provides the perfect appealing cocktail for blending both worlds. He's an extremely evolved soul, which I can attest to, and he's blessed with a witty personality that simply captivates his audiences. His tenacious viewpoints and uncanny nature to verbalize brings forth both entertainment and enlightenment. So let's look out for both folks. Welcome, AJ. How are you today?
Hey, brother. How are you?
Good, good. Excellent. We dodged a bullet up here. I've been adjusting to winter, but I just heard that Buffalo had gotten buried with 65 inches of snow, and
so
we did not get it.
So be glad that you're not there.
Boy, am I ever. I'll tell you, I mean, I used to love the snow when I skied, but 65 inches is a little excessive. So,
I don't think I would like that.
How are things in sunny Florida?
Well, believe it or not, man, we've had a cold spell here this last week. I mean, for us, it's like, you know, for those in the Northeast and, you know, other areas like that that are experiencing cold, I mean, it's probably nothing for them. But for us, when we hit 50 degrees, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, what happened here? You know, it's almost like an apocalypse, you know. So, it's starting to warm back up again, but things are nice. Things are nice here.
Well, you know, that just goes to show that all things are relative. And on that note, let's try to find where you and I can find some common ground. And I'm very interested in exploring your background because I really have never picked your brain. I don't know exactly what your roots are, although I know that you come from India, of an Indian heritage. So why don't you tell me a little bit about how your journey began?
Well, you know, I think the journey began for me was, you know, when I was growing up, you know, my heritage is from India. And then my parents moved over here to the Western world, United States. And, you know, in that we started growing up. And through that we started really starting to, by meeting people, by meeting friends in school and other types of sources, we started understanding or, you know, realizing that, you know, all these different scenarios, I mean, all these things about churches, these concepts of churches and, you know, prayer sessions, if you would, started to come into place. And so, and I also started to, as I was growing up, realize that, you know, I got a good look at, you know, how my parents were doing what their belief system much was, which was in the Hindu religion, if you would, as they were growing up. And as I was growing to that phrase, I actually throughout, I would say, very, very early on, up until I was probably in my, I would say, early 30s, if you would, I started to push back on all of it. I mean, every single bit of it. I mean, I never wanted to have anything to do with anything. You know, my friends or people that I knew that were in organized religion, I never thought about it as organized religion at that time. And also to my parents that were actually having us go through these different, you know, spiritual or ceremonial, if you would, type practices. Again, I would always push back at it. And, you know, for me, it was just like something was missing. Something was not right. I couldn't put my finger on it, David. I just couldn't put my finger on it, but something was just not there for me. And I didn't know what it was. I didn't know how to wrap my head around it. And so my journey or my search was very, let's call it unconscious, if you would. It just was like, you know, well, you know, this isn't working. So, but I did feel that there's something out there, you know what I mean? Or with us, I shouldn't say out there, but with us,
sure,
in our energy, if you would. And I just couldn't put my finger on it. So there I started really kind of like, you know, well, what's there? And I went through this phase in my life where I would go to Catholic churches, Christian churches. I mean, you know, see, maybe should I get saved, or maybe should I get a puja in India, or maybe should I go to a, you know, synagogue. I went through everything and said, there's something. If I go through enough of these experiences, I've got to find something. And quite frankly, I just never really did. I never got that connection with anything. I never got that connection with, you know, what we're experiencing here in this world. So from there, you know, I just went to, you know, here in Florida, we got hit with some hurricanes in 2004. There was like four that hit us right away. So what happened was, is, you know, around where we live, it shut down a lot of the world, if you would. And so, you know, I thought to myself, this is a good time for me to find out who I really am and where I really came from. So a week later, I went on a trip for the first time in my life. I'd never been there before. I took a trip to India, and that's where I went on the journey. And that's where I just was like, you know, let me at least find out what it's, you know, what my existence is about. Let me start from where I'm from and then work from that place. And that's where it all started from for me.
Cool. And what was that journey like for you?
It's the most amazing experience I've ever experienced, and even today, I mean, I'm 43 now, you know, getting there was just, it's a totally different life. It's almost like when you take a look at, like, America or Western civilizations, if you would, it's almost inverse to that. It's very, there's so much about giving. There's so much about giving, and it's not from a giving like we should give because it's what we should do. It really comes from a very pure nature. You know, and I remember sitting there like, because the dollar, if you would, the dollar there from an economy standpoint, the dollar is worth like 45 times there. So if you have a couple of $100, I mean, you have a great trip there, if you would. It's very, very inexpensive to, you know, get through that country. And I remember my cousin, who I was staying with at the time, had a driver that was driving him around and, you know, was also driving me around because I was there vacationing, if you would, or sort of visiting. And, you know, I said, you know, I want to go home. Let me take me home. And he goes, well, I can't take you home, sir, until I make sure you're fed. And you know what I mean? It's just that kind of experience. I mean, it's so loving. And again, I think everybody, wherever their cultures are, I think they're probably going to get a lot of a similar experience. I mean, that was my cultural experience that I got connected to that brought me home, if you would. But for me, and I, you know, it just gave me a different, you know, perspective on life. It gave me a different perspective on, you know, what people are like. And I think everybody grows that experience as they get older. You know, nothing beats wisdom, really.
No, that's for sure. Do you think that it's necessary to have experience to gain wisdom?
Yes, I think so. I think some people are obviously born. I do believe this. I do believe that some people are born with some sort of, like, you know, innate wisdom or innate gifts, let's call them. People call them gifts. I do believe that happens. But I think that nothing beats the experience. Yeah, I think you have to go through it. I think you have to be able to talk about it and to really counsel someone on it or to share with your fellow human being or, as you say, in your opening in your show, David, which is very well said, you know, we're humans having a spiritual experience, is that I think people really have to go through that journey, and they have to go through those things to be able to say, here's what I went through, here's how I handled it. And only then, and only then, can someone really get a connection with that. Other than that, I think we're talking textbook stuff, and I don't know how relevant that is all the time.
That's true. I think that there's nothing that beats the opening up of a person's soul, and that is definitely an experiential thing, that there's no other description for it. My sense is that wisdom can be transferred to somebody through somebody else's experience, if somebody has an open mind, and that certain spiritual principles can be taught if somebody's open to that. But we have so many people that close themselves off at a spiritual level, that are locked into mentalities with closed minds, and it doesn't seem like there's anything that can permeate it. I was interested in what your pushing back was about, if you have any insight now about what that was like for you.
Well, my pushing back was that, that's a great question. Thank you for asking me that. And, my pushing back was more along the lines of, this is so right what we're doing right now. This is so right. But along the way, I'm meeting people from other types of faiths, and I'm really enjoying their company. I'm really liking their friendships. And I'm realizing, why don't they have the same thing that I have? And why is everything still okay? Why do I still like them? Why do I still, have a admiration for them? Why do I still have respect for them? You know what I mean? And so for me, that's what made me want to push back, in a sense, because I realized that, for me, again, this is just my opinion, and take what you want and throw the rest away. I realized that, everybody's got their own stuff right now. And it's so unique. It's like the best thing is, like, everybody's so incredibly special, but so is the next person too. You know what I mean? And if we can embrace that, and that's really where I felt like, that's where my heart really gravitated to, David, to be honest with you. It really gravitated to that place, like realizing that, I'm not here to change the world. I'm not at all. You know what I mean? And it's like, I'm simply saying, look, you know what? Be understanding of what I do, and I will be understanding of what you do, and let's just have a good time, because we're going through this journey, and if we can hold hands together and get through it, it's just going to make it a hell of a lot easier for all of us.
Well, obviously you found a common thread along the way that you resonated with, and I'm interested in the fact that you did explore a lot of different religions. I can relate to that experience, because I did not find what I was looking for a very long time, and I've only recently not necessarily discovered a religion, but a different form of spirituality that resonates with me. And it does cling to primarily the teachings of Jesus, but it's open to all religious teachings and traditions. And so I like it from that standpoint, but it still is not complete for me, because I think that what I'm hearing from you and what I can relate to is it is the spiritual experience within that transcends anything that you can learn or relate to, other than the commonality that we feel when we experience fellowship and relate to other people.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that for me, it's like when I went through my experiences, when I went to a mosque, or when I went to a synagogue, or when I went to a church, or any type of different faith, I respected that as if it was, as if I was part of that congregation. And I think that, for those out there maybe listening, when you do that, when you're in those places, I mean, respect it for what it is. I mean, that's that energy of that belief at that time, and I think you'll find it relevant to what you're wanting to have happen. I will say this. I guess the best thing I've ever learned out about this whole thing is that I really believe that we are the, not from a worshiping standpoint, David, but we are the gods and goddesses. We are the quote-unquote gods and goddesses that have been labeled. We have the ability to be able to create this amazing aspect of our lives and our lives for others. And I think if we embrace it all and realize that there is a sprinkle of truth with everything being said, then, and only then, then I then we will get that connection. And there you find peace. There you find peace. You get that thing because now you realize that, you know, we're all really part of each other, you know. And I don't mean this from a love and light perspective. I mean this from a true perspective, is that we're really all part of, and from my opinion, we're all part of each other. And if we embrace that we're all part of each other and realize that we're all going to make our mistakes, we're all going to have our judgments, we're all going to have everything, but guess what? We all have each other. And if we embrace the fact that we have each other, you know, again, you know, we're going to grow up in a better place than we were, you know, than our predecessors were before us.
Well, you know, I really like what you're saying because it's part of the message that I'm trying to carry without pushing my beliefs onto people. Of course, we all have those, and obviously people are going to hear where I'm coming from. But the purpose of my show is to empower people and open people up to the possibility that there's more than the individual experience that they're going through. And I like that notion that we are all one with Source, and also the God and Goddess perspective, because that is very empowering. And from that perspective, we can appreciate the fact that it's possible for us to manifest our dreams, that it's possible for us to create our own reality, that anything is possible, and that we are limitless in our power when we align with the source of our being, which is whatever people choose to call it. You know, I call it God. We can call it Goddess. We can call it Universe. We can call it by many different names, and it's all the same, really.
I think so. And I think that, you know, there's another thing that always comes up for me is that, oh, well, maybe they're not an evolved soul, or they're not there yet, or they have to go through their stuff. Man, we're all here, man. You know what I mean? We're all going through the same stuff. We're just going through it through different directions. So this whole evolved soul, yes, people have gifts. Yes, people have tapped into something, maybe, and they're just, they're able to take the learning lessons that are infused upon all of us, if you would, and they're able to go a little faster than others. You know, at the end of the day, we all ultimately learn from each other. We ultimately learn respect. We hope to learn respect. We hope to learn, you know, patience. I don't even like the word tolerance, if you would, because it's just like a kind of like that. But it's like, we learn things like, you know, just really like embracing other people and just let them be how they gotta be, and they're gonna get through it in the way they're gonna get through it. And you know, we'll all help each other along the way. And if they get it, they get it. And if they go through what they gotta go through, then they go through what they gotta go through. If they don't, then they won't. And again, you know, we gotta stop trying to be Robin Hood to people, I think, all the time. You know what I mean? Everybody's got their own stuff, you know.
Oh, absolutely. You know, earlier you were talking about letting go of judgment and how human it is to judge. How do you manage to stay away from that and to just let it be when it comes to other people? When it comes to your own belief systems.
Yeah, it's just by embracing it all and realizing and really taking on the belief system that, again, that there's a sprinkle of truth of everything being said or it would not have been said. Okay, it's all energy. And if it's said, then, you know, my role as a human or spirit or, you know, whatever you want to define it as, is to just embrace that and learn from it. Nothing more, nothing less. And that's how I get through that, because I don't, you know, other than that, yeah, it can drive you crazy. And also, too, judgment is also a reflection of your own, in my opinion, judgment also defines a reflection of your own you know, inner insecurities, if you would. So if someone is very that judgmental, you know, I mean, quite frankly, it's like, you know, you might have a mirror issue that you're dealing with right now that you're not wanting to confront. So, you know, and so sometimes these are really good when people are judgmental, quite frankly, for their own sake, is that they can actually look within themselves, because when they're that judgmental, they're being shown what they don't like or what they don't want to be. And maybe that's just for them to be able to get their own experience from. Maybe that's for them to say, look, you know what, learn it from that. I mean, the most judgmental people are the ones that actually, hopefully, are the ones that are going to have the best experiences if they really embrace it that way.
Yeah, I think it's so important for us to take a look at the shadow side of ourselves. And I don't think there's anything necessarily reflective of an opinion. I think you're telling it like it is when you say that we project our stuff onto other people. I think that's just part and parcel of the nature of reality, of the human experience. I know I do that. I've seen that many times. And whether or not it's a direct condition that I possess that I'm projecting onto somebody else, I obviously, when something bothers me, I have to take a look at where that may have come from. And it's usually not from a pretty seeming place.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's like we all get frustrated, we all get angry, and I think every day we can all walk away with some feeling of, man, I wish I wouldn't have said that. You know what I mean? And you know what I mean? I think we all can. I think we all can, and we just gotta, as long as I believe is that if we can walk away from it and realize that we said what we were gonna say, and we said it, and we acknowledged it. And, you know, we're not asking for forgiveness. I don't necessarily believe in that as much, just by the whole forgiveness concept. Just acknowledgement more than anything. Like, I got it. Okay, now I can learn from that. I said it. Because I think these things are just amazing, amazing lessons for all of us, you know. I think it's important for us sometimes to pass these kind of things so we can learn what did I just say? How, oh, my God, how horrible did that sound? That's the only way we're going to learn that, you know, how to get to another place of it. And try to, like, really embrace, you know, what the other person is going through, again, in my opinion.
Well, I think it's important for us to do that, and I also think it's important for us to be very gentle when we do that. And a lot of times we can become our own whipping boys or whipping girls when we examine ourselves. And I think that, you know, the most important thing that we need to show to ourselves and to others always is compassion. And for whatever reason, we oftentimes fall short in that regard. But it's progress, not necessarily perfection. And I like the way you changed your a statement earlier from think to believe. Do you believe that thoughts or beliefs are more powerful?
I believe that thoughts are more powerful. I really do. I think beliefs is a learned behavior, meaning that, you know, our parents taught us this, or whoever raised us taught us belief, if you would. The thoughts are the more powerful mm-hmm. thing. The thoughts are the thing
yeah.
that we can adjust. The beliefs are what we learn, and learning is a very subjective behavior, in my opinion, that, you know, we can learn from school, we can learn from, our spiritual leaders, or, again, from parents, but thoughts are the things that are actually unique to us.
And what is it about the thought that's so powerful for you?
The thought that's so powerful for me, it's the energy. It's the energy, it's my connection with the source. The thought for me is my connection with the source. So that for me becomes into the line of saying, okay, am I connecting with my source, or am I connecting with myself? You know what I mean? So the thought to me is either the source, or it's my ego, if you would, or my source. Let's call it ego, because we all can, you know, recognize it as that term. But that's really that's why the thought's so powerful to me. And so my role is to be able to filter out, is it my source or is it me? And so I try to simplify by that standpoint. If I can really condense and get rid of all the other stuff, and I can bring it down to that, those 2 points, it makes it a little bit easier to try to get through.
How do you manage to stay away from the ego place, the little me place, and connect with the source place?
It's an ongoing thing. It's an ongoing, we all have it. It's an ongoing journey. It's an ongoing battle. It's just a matter of really committing yourself to be able to say, you know, what I said was this. I'll give you an example. Like anybody in life, I mean, we all have our moments. We all say things that we regret, and I think we say that all the time, okay? I mean, or at least we say it, you know, enough where we all remember it. one of the things I always do is if I say something that I felt like or I done, you know, I shouldn't have said, then you know what? My learned, now this is, comes into learned behavior. My learned behavior is, let's say, for example, I said something to you, David. I said, okay, well, you know, I said something I didn't, I shouldn't have said to you. Well, my next thing is to call you back and say, you know what? I shouldn't have said that to you. My next thing
right.
is to say, when you know that you shouldn't have said what you shouldn't have said, don't just think about it. Go ahead and get it done and fix it. Call that person back and say, you know what? I shouldn't have said that. You know, can we hit a reset button? Can I get your, you know, I hope you accept my apology. I think that's what it's about.
Well, I think you've hit on a very important. Yes, and I think
we don't
meet
all the time.
That's a very important point, and it's even broader in scope, and that is, I mean, that's an action statement that you're talking about, and it's a healing statement. But I think that it is very important for us to focus on action, whatever we do, taking our thoughts to an action level, because without that, they're just floating up in the universe and nothing happens. How do you make things happen in your life? How do you set intentions and manifest those for yourself?
So I don't really get attached to the intentions, if you would. What I do is I go through the motions again. I realize the fact that, you know what, I've got every other experience that every other human being has right now. I've got emotions, I've got hate, I've got love, I've got fear, I've got frustration. And what I do is I acknowledge it fast. And what I've learned to be able to manifest things is that I acknowledge it fast. When I acknowledge it fast, meaning that if I say something that someone I shouldn't have said, I'll acknowledge it very fast. But I'm not talking within days. I'm talking within, you know, hours, if you would. I get to resolve very fast. I think the most important thing for me to manifest is to get resolved to whatever needed to get resolved to that fast. And from there, I see things open up. So, for example, if I'm very frustrated about something, I'll get resolved to it, and I notice that right away things start manifesting. Call it a gift, call it whatever it is, but things start manifesting right away that my thoughts, because I've released that part of, you know, myself that stopped it from manifesting, if you would. It's you
well,
got to get resolved.
You...
That's how I do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we need to keep it in the day. At least I do, and I don't always do it perfectly. But if I don't take care of it in the day, it eats at me at some level, and I may forget to do it until years later. And that can create regret, which serves no purpose. It can create resentments on the part of other people. And I'm not doing them any favors to put them into that position. Again, and part of the human experience. But what I was thinking in terms of manifesting, I wasn't specifically referring to the shoulds and the shouldn'ts and the mistakes that we've made, but how you make your dreams come true.
Oh, okay, great question. So what I do is I make a conscious decision to connect with my source. I said, okay, let's do this. So for me, what I do is I wake up with the sunlight every morning, okay? I sleep with my blinds open, and I tell you why I do this, because when my son, he's 12 years old, when he was about 3 years old, one of the things that really just made such an impact in my life is I remember him waking me up, and you know, I ask him about this, and he says he doesn't remember it, but that's okay. But I do. And so he goes, Dad, wake up. The sun's up. And so when he said that to me, it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever heard in my life. So ever since then, I sleep with the blinds open, and I let the sun wake me up. And then from there, what I do is all I say is I go outside where I'm at, and I say, it's very simple, let's do this. And for me, that's my way of saying, hey, whoever or whatever or whichever is there for me, let's get through what we got to get through. And my thoughts now, then I put my thoughts into that, whatever my thoughts are I want for the day or for that immediate, you know what I mean? And then I put it out there. And from there, it starts to manifest, because it's a matter of alignment. In my opinion, it's a matter of aligning with something or some being. Whatever your faith is, you know, again, whatever your faith is, no right or wrong here. You know, align with it, truly align with it. You know what I mean? Truly align with it and get there with it as if you are it. You know what I mean? And that's where it manifests.
What do you use as
that's
your guide to stay on? Okay.
What do I use?
Is your guide to stay aligned?
Again, just life. I mean, waking up and just getting going. I mean, I don't, you know, getting going and realizing that my guide is this, is that I look at my guide is the world. I look at the world and I say, wow, you know, this sucks that so many people are going through what they're going through right now. That's my guide. My guide is, you know, what do I do to not have this experience that everybody's having right now, or most people are having right now? That's my guide. You know, people I think do, you know, and you know, different things, but they make a decision based on how much pain it's going to cause them or how much greatness it's going to give them. You know what I mean? So I look at you know, what other people are going through or what other people's greatness, whether it be greatness or whether it be not so greatness. But that's my guide, and I base it based on that.
Well, that's important, and I think that's something that people might want to consider looking at for themselves. There are a lot of lost souls out there that might appreciate some food for thought. Now, Esther Hicks, who channels Abraham, talks about using feeling good as an indicator of the direction in which to move. And Joseph Campbell, the great philosopher who wrote The Power of the Myth, amongst many other important books, always talked about following your bliss. Now, what do you think about that? Do you use your bliss as your guide?
No, I think I use every emotion as my guide. I'll give you an example. Let me give you a real life example.
Okay.
So, you know, when you're a kid, okay, you're 5 years old, and you want something, and you're stomping and screaming, and you're crying, and you're crying, and you're crying, and you're kicking, and you're writing on the walls and everything like that until you get what you want. But guess what? Eventually, you get what you want, right? What I'm trying to say here is that a lot of people, what they do is they say, well, let me just focus in on all of the, let's call it the positives, if you would, and let me just put out that energy, that positive energy. And it's great to put out positive energy, but you have, I think, from a realization standpoint, you have to realize whatever's there has given us frustration and anger. If we can learn how to harness those things, then we're going to get it. So we use every part of those things. And so if we're feeling frustrated, figure out how to make that the best frustration ever. And you'll get it because you just need to know how to harness that. I think by understanding, David, what the other emotional components are in our life, that's where we can really manifest things. If we only understand what we want to understand, that's where we continually have a block because we don't understand what really, like what anger can be for us or what frustration can be for us or what sadness can be for us. But if we can look at those emotions and harness them and say, well, how do I harness this? How do I harness it and really utilize that? They're all different components that make us the whole of who we are. So we have to understand them. If we don't understand them, then we really don't understand ourselves.
Well, I think that you hit on a very important point. And that is that we need to use our feelings as our indicator and that's where we get our power from. My personal feeling and belief is that I want to keep heading in a positive direction. So if I hit something that doesn't feel good, like anger or frustration, and I almost hear you saying that you transform that into something better. And I like that very much. I don't know what your personal beliefs are, but I think that it's so important for me to focus on a positive direction for myself and to allow whatever else comes along to just surf with it and go with the flow until I head in the direction that feels more positive for me.
Yeah, I think that my personal beliefs are whatever everybody else believes, as long as it doesn't hurt the innocent, because I believe we're all part of one. I really, truly do in my heart of hearts. I believe we're all part of one. So that's my personal belief. As far as everything else, I think that, yes, if you're feeling it, accept it, and really learn what gifts that each one of those emotions gives us. Each one of those emotions, whether it feels good or doesn't feel good, truly does give us a gift. You know, and you know, there's a whole adage that's been said. It's that, you know, when, you know, the whole thing, when one door closes, another one opens up, kind of thing like that. It's just that we spend so much time staring at the closed door that we never see the other open doors.
Well, I like the word accept. I think acceptance is a very important concept for us to incorporate into our lives. If I am bucking the current and trying to fight with the devil, I tend to get nowhere. I stay locked in a struggle. And when I accept what is as it's meant to be, then I'm more able to go with the flow. And I've heard it said that acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. I prefer to turn that around to acceptance is the answer to all my solutions today. I like to live in the solution instead of the problem and change my paradigm into possibility thinking. How do you resonate with that?
Well, I totally do. I think it's very important. Again, you know, we just, you know, not to regurgitate here, but we really just got to, you know, we spend so much time looking at what others are doing wrong because it makes us feel better about ourselves. And that's just as a general society. You know what I mean? There's no categorization of that, but just as a general society, we just spend so much time learning what others are doing wrong because a lot of times we're trained that way. Our belief systems dictate to us that's what should happen. This is not right. This is not right. This is not right. You know, I think we just really need to spend a lot more time with ourselves and get to know ourselves. You know what I mean? And if you really look at it in the grand scheme of things, out of how many billion people, David, is, you know, how many people truly really know themselves? Because if they really did know themselves, you know, we just wouldn't be having these types of conversations. You know what I mean? Yeah, different types of conversations.
Right.
So we just
have right.
to learn
well,
to know ourselves. I mean,
what is the key for you to open the door to understanding who AJ is?
Put myself out there. Put myself in positions where, you know, I would that I wouldn't feel like I would normally want to be into. So, for example, like, you know, something that I may feel like, okay, well, I've learned in my life that this is not the right thing. Well, you know what? Let me at least put myself in that position to understand why it's not the right thing. You know what I mean? Again, if you can't understand, you know, what the things are in your that have been taught to you or what are in your life that you're supposed to not embrace or stay away from, you know, you're never going to be able to really work through them unless you understand what their power is. You know what I mean? And then you can make then and only then can you make a true decision. It's not fair to make a decision on something, whether it be religious based or whether it be personal based, unless you've actually, I'm not saying go through the experience, but at least have actually exposed yourself to at least visually seeing it or hearing it, you know, to be able to say, okay, I get it. Yes, this is, you know, then you can make a real, true, objective decision. But most things are not done objectively. They're done subjectively. They're done based on learned behavior.
Right. Earlier in the show, you talked about the word change, and I'm trying to get a handle on the context in which you used it, because you talked about how certain change was not possible, and I don't know if that was with regards to changing other people, because obviously we can't change other people. Do you recall what you were going for at that point in time?
Not exactly, but I mean, but I do say this though. Yeah, I think you're right on point there. I do not think it's our role to change other people. I think their job to change themselves, not our job. It's not our job. You got to change yourself. And you know what? Let them go through their motions. I think when we try to change other people, that's where we're, again, we have got to start to really realize what do we have to change within ourselves. Because you know what? I really think the evolved or the wise one would realize that, you know what? All you got to do is just be able to share the information and, you know, take what you want and throw the rest away. But I think we spend so much time trying to change people, trying to, now obviously with children, it's our jobs is to be able to help nurture them and to be able to, you know, influence them and, you know, at least give them some direction. But when someone is absolutely at a place right now where they can make their own decisions, then they need to make their own decisions. And we can only give them advice. That's it. I think we need to stop trying to change people. And that alone, I believe, will really help people connect them to their sources greater, because they'll realize that they'll get away from them, they'll get away from others, and they'll get back into themselves.
Well, I probably know the answer to this question, but let's go there. On the subject of change, I'm thinking in terms of what changes we might like to see in the world and what can be a catalyst for change. For instance, trying to head towards world peace, and we obviously need that in this world. What do you believe is a catalyst for that kind of change?
The catalyst, I think, for like world peace kind of scenarios like that is going to be the fact that we need to just get to a point right now where we need to have a lot of courage as a unified place, if you would. So, for example, we have certain people in every government, let's call it. I mean, since we're talking about world peace, every government, if you would, that there's a small segment of people that really rule the world or rule the societies, if you would. We just need to really have a better voice together, and we need to align with each other a little better. And I think we need to step up. I think that to be very direct, I think most societies teach people how to be really okay where you're at and be okay with your at and don't expect greatness. And I think that we need to stop realizing that that greatness is an amazing thing to accept. You know, where we're taught that. So I think it starts from the thought process. So I don't believe anything will change, quite frankly, David, unless people actually start to, as a unified front, like really change, like at a mass level, unless people start to really realize at a unified front that, you know, everybody is incredibly freaking great. Everybody's great. You know what I mean? And I think when people stop realizing as a general, you know, that mediocrity or where you're at is okay, then if that doesn't stop, then nothing will change.
Well, I agree totally with what you're saying, and I'm just going with the flow here and resonating with so much of what you said, and that's always an enjoyable experience for me, although I have certainly had some guests who have had differing belief systems from mine, and that's perfectly okay. It's been a challenge for me in my past, but I've come to accept that everybody is where they're at for a reason, and that the universe is benevolent and unfolding exactly as it's meant to be. I guess another question I have as far as achieving more global possibilities would be, what role do you feel vision plays in that?
Vision plays a lot because it's part of connecting with source. You know, it's part of it's vision and it's thoughts. It plays a lot in the whole thing. You have to be able to visualize something. You have to be able to think something to be able to really create it. I mean, if there is any reason or reasonable, reality, best way for me to describe it at this point, that, you know, thoughts are energy, vision is reality, then we need to really do that. So I think we need to have that vision. We need to see ourselves in that place. That's how we're going to get better. We as a society, and I'm talking about here a lot in the Western world, David, is like a lot of people see themselves as like, you know, sick because, quite frankly, that's what our TV tells us, we're sick. And, they instill upon us that we have this, or if you don't have this, well, guess what? You might have this, and you may want to take this. We need to not buy into all that stuff. We need to realize that we're an amazing thing. And for the most part, I don't know the statistics or whatever, and that's not my job there, but for the most part, I think if people believe in something, then they really, really need to resonate with that something and really believe in that, what that something is. Because you don't want to have one foot in and one foot out, meaning that you don't want to believe in something and says, okay, you can create the biggest dynasty in the world, and then the next statement is like, oh my God, I got, you know, this, I got this, I got this almost. You know what I mean? You can't have one foot in, one foot out, is what I'm saying. Ride one horse and ride it well. Pick your battles. Either be the most depressed person you can be, and be the most sick person you can be, and be the best at what you can be there, or be the best you can be. You know, you make a choice, is all I'm saying. People just have to make choices. But you can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah. Well, that's really significant. I'd like to invite people to consider the power of choice and the fact that we always have the right to change our minds. And in my own journey, it's been so important for me to wake up to the reality that what I thought I used to know to be true oftentimes wasn't. And it's required a total shift in my consciousness. And I'm wondering, as far as what you learned when you were in India, with you talked about how freely people give over there. What can we learn in this Western culture from Eastern ideologies that would be helpful to us?
Total acceptance. At the end of the day, total acceptance. Because I remember the most beautiful thing I would David, oh my gosh, this gives me chills even speaking about it. I would wake up with the sunrise there, you know what I mean? And in there, you would hear the kids. They were at schools, and there's like a billion people in like the state of Texas, right? So, but all these kids, and in the morning, you would hear them singing their prayers, whether they be Hindi prayers, but right after that, they would sing an Islamic prayer, and right after that, they would sing a Christian prayer. You know what I mean? So they were just singing to source at every different place. And that was the most beautiful thing. It was the most beautiful thing, and it was the same thing. And if you go and like you drive in the taxi cabs, you would have a picture of like you know, Buddha, and right next to Buddha, you'd have a picture of Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? So it was just a total embracement of source. And I think that here in the Western world, if we can just embrace that source does exist, and source means different things to different people, that's where I think we just maybe want to be open to that for ourselves. And you know, and quite frankly, where we're at in society right now, most people have nothing to lose and everything to gain by trying.
That's true. Very true. What do you think is one of the most important keys in life?
Figuring out yourself, because if you can figure out yourself, then you can be the best for everybody else. But if you try to figure out everybody else, which is what we all tend to do, that's where you get into the thing. But I think if we can focus on figuring out ourselves and being the best of who we can, then and only then, in my opinion, David, is then we can really have that key to really help other people. That's where we can make an impact.
What role does gratitude play for you in your life?
Oh, it's the most important thing. Again, it's acknowledging existence. It's acknowledging that, you know, source. When you're grateful to anything, you know what I mean? You know, you're grateful for, hey, I got a flat tire and it didn't rain. You know what I mean? And when I was able to do this, that's gratitude. You know what I mean? You have to be gratitude. I'm not saying be self-serving. I'm not saying, you know, just be a martyr here. By no means am I saying that at all, but I am saying this, is that, you know, stuff happens in your life, and you know what? You got two choices. You can react to it, or you can, you know, really grow from it. And so just make a choice. You know, it's all about choices. But gratitude is a very important thing. Everything is. I mean, be grateful for what you have. Be grateful for the time when we breathe, because, you know, reality is this, like, I don't know how many people can actually say, where do we go from here? Like, what happens to us when we get out of the shell? You know, we think we know, but do we really, really know? You know what I mean? And I don't know how many people can actually say we really, really know. And so all I'm saying is that be really grateful for where we're at right now and enjoy the experience the best you can. Experience every day as if it's like Disney World, and be grateful for it.
Well, I once asked a minister, she identified herself as an urban mystic minister. Her name is Harriet Walden, and I asked her what the most important prayer was, and she very simply said, thank you. And yeah. I really resonated with that. I have found in my life that gratitude is the gateway to experiencing the abundance of all blessings, and I don't mean just prosperity. I mean love. I mean joy. I mean all things that are positive. And I really encourage people, as Oprah Winfrey did, to keep a gratitude journal to stay in touch, because even if we don't see that we have things that we want in our life, which are just attachments, all we need to do is focus on whatever it is that we do possess to be grateful for. If we have breath, if we have health, if we have food, shelter, clothing, I mean, sometimes it's just those simple gifts that we need to remain aware of if we're going to be able to experience anything else. I mean, it was said in the Bible that to those who have been given much, much more will be given, or something to that effect. And so I think that, you know, gratitude is such an important key for me. And it sounds like it is for you, too.
Yeah, if you want to grow in life, you want to be able to, if you want more in life, you want a greater love, you want greater money, you want bigger houses, you want a yacht, whatever you want, whatever your thing is for you, you know, start by being grateful for where you're at, because then it's like almost like acknowledgement of where you're at, so you can move to the next step. You know, there is greatness out there. I mean, we all know, we've all heard of people that have come from nothing and all of a sudden have everything. We all say, well, how do they get it? You know what I mean? It's a thought process. It's a learned behavior. You know what I mean? It's an energy. It's an energy that's says, you know what, nothing will stand in my way. I won't be denied, and that's it. And you know, one thing I'll always say to people, because we live in that world, you know, people say, you know, oh, well, money's not the most important thing, blah, 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 blah. Well, guess what? It's, you know, be real with yourself about what that means. Be real with yourself about what these things mean to you. Don't just shove them under because you feel embarrassed that you shouldn't be saying that or because you don't have it. Money is probably not the most important thing, but it's definitely in the top three. You know what I mean? We need it. You know what I mean? And quite frankly, you know,
absolutely.
It makes the world go around. You know what? We live in this world, so embrace it and just be open to accepting it. And don't make it a bad thing. Don't make it a bad thing. Make it a really good thing, because it's part of our universal law where we live. I didn't make the rules. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to follow them like everybody else.
Well, it's another form of energy, and all energy is good if it's positive and if it allows for growth. And as you said, I mean, it's what we need to not only survive but to thrive. And I think it's very important for people who might say, I'm surviving, to try to turn that around into how that they can thrive. And on that note, let's talk about how you're thriving today, what it is that you do for enjoyment in your life, your career, what has brought you the successful man that you are today, and if you would tell us a little bit about what you do, what your personal mission, that would be great.
Yeah, thank you for that. So, you know, what's really given me the life I want today, which is having a free-flowing experience, which I get to roll with it all, I get to kind of, you know, just kind of fly with it all, if you would, is again, really everything we spoke about in this last, you know, 45 minutes or so, is just embracing that thought process, but really helping people have the same existence, that want the same existence. You know what I mean? Really working with them, because everybody wants something. They really do, whether they want to admit it or not, is helping them get to that place, really helping them have that same existence and working with them at that level. And I think that when people come to us, or whether they come to you or any people like us, if you would, I think let's share it, because what happens is that when you're empowering them, what's happening is the most amazing gift in the world is you're empowering yourself along the way. And through that, everybody wins. Okay? And so people are looking to be able to do things like, you know, whether they want to set up their own businesses or whether they want to set up their own, you know, online entities. I mean, it's a matter of building the dream. It's a matter of saying, here's my dream. Let's work together for the dream. You know what I mean? It takes a village, David. It takes a village, you know. And yep. You know, people think that, well, I got a dream, and they try to go that dream themselves. You know, people do make it by that way. But guess what? If you got a whole bunch of people helping you with it, it just makes it a lot easier. And so, you know, I would say my work, whether it be my commitment, whether it be my vibe, whatever you want to call it, it's just by helping people make that existence and their dreams, you know, an easier reality and make it happen faster. And that, to me,
what are the services
that feeds my soul?
Right, absolutely. I think that's a very important point. What are the services that you offer, and how can people get in touch with you to like help from you?
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for that, David. So the easiest way to check us out is by going. Well, first of all, check out our show. It's called spirituallyraw.tv. That'll at least kind of let you watch some of our shows and see, you know, what our unique nature is about ourselves, if you would, like yourselves. As far as services, they can go to our other website, which is called freemediaadvice.com. And there's like a 3-minute video there. They can watch that. It'll explain all of our services, such things like maybe someone needs a website, maybe someone needs social media help, maybe someone needs to get exposed to a lot of other interviews like radio interviews or TV interviews. Maybe they just need to talk to someone and say, here's my idea. You know what I mean? How can we make this a reality? So, you know, check out those outlets. Check out those resources for themselves. And also, too, David, I will say this. If you're an author and you have a book, go to the book club on Free Media Advice, and you can upload your book for free and have it advertised there for free.
Cool. I'll have to do that myself.
Yeah, you should.
Okay, free. I didn't even know about this website. Tell me the name of it again so I can write it down.
Sure,
freemediaadvice.com. .com. That's easy. Okay, well, the best things in life. I will do. Yeah. Are there any parting words that you'd like to share with us? Any words of encouragement, people? What would you say to people that are struggling with hope in their lives? What empowering message give to them?
Get in touch with yourselves and get in touch with yourselves right now. Okay. Don't wait another moment. Shake it off, snap it off, slap yourself in the face, whatever you got to do. Dive in a pool of cold water, but shake it off yourself. Stop with the drama and get going, okay? Because you know what? It is you. Change yourself, and you already know it. It's just so much easier to get caught up in the stuff. And the other thing I would say to people is when you ask people how they're doing it during their day, don't get into this "I'm okay" kind of crap. If they say that to you, walk away. Disconnect from that. You want to surround yourself with the right energy that is about making things happen, okay? Whatever they have, surround yourself with the right energy that can make things happen for you and your family, you know, and yourself.
Oh,
walk away from something
really...
walk away from something that doesn't. Don't get caught up because when you know one of the things I always do here because we live in a very small town. I stop asking people how they're doing because sometimes they tell me if they say, it's okay or it's not really doing good. I'm like, you know, and I'll tell people, I don't mind saying this because you know what? Do you mind if I don't talk to you right now because I don't want to take that on? You can't take on other people's energy until you get your own stuff straight. Get your own stuff straight first. Don't be part of a pack. Yeah.
You're a very enthusiastic person with a real zest for life. And it's my belief that enthusiasm drives the machine and that we need to embrace life with gusto. It's going to move forward in the direction that we want to make our dreams happen. And I really thank you for being with me. It's been a very quick hour. I've really enjoyed our discussion. I feel like I know you a lot better. And I consider you a brother, and I appreciate it when you call me brother.
No, I love you, brother, and you know that. And you know what, man? And thank you to your audience for taking the time to listen to or share the thoughts that we had to do. So all the best to all of you. Godspeed, Godspeed, whatever you have faith in. Let's go.
Beautiful. So once again, we come to a close. Now we pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience if we open ourselves to it. Have a great week and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize.
You have been listening to Different Strokes for Different Folks. To find common ground and take it to the next level, here on Blog Talk Radio with David Clark, every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. You can listen to this broadcast again on srbroadcasting.com.